Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying the Songs of Ascent, Psalms 120 to 134, and this is Lesson 1, Psalm 120, Calling on the Lord for Deliverance. As we begin, let's pray. Father, we look to you this day. Let your Spirit be active in our spirits. Help us to understand, O Lord, what the psalmist is saying, and then, Lord, let it indwell us and motivate us and change us. Work in us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Picture with me a band of pilgrims. They're people from your village headed up the road that leads to Jerusalem. You're on your way to Passover, or perhaps the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Booths. There's excitement in the air, and joy and anticipation. As you grow nearer to the holy city, you begin to meet pilgrims from other towns and villages as their paths converge with yours on the road up to Jerusalem. These bands of pilgrims sing as they walk, and you join in, you and all your friends and your children on either side of you. You sing one of the 15 songs of ascent that seem like they're made for community singing, and everyone joins in. Psalms 120 to 134 are called the Songs of Ascent because pilgrims would sing them as they traveled the sometimes steep road ascending up to Jerusalem. Over the next 15 days, day by day, we'll be studying each of the 15 Songs of Ascent. We'll spend some time trying to understand what the psalmist is saying in his inspired poetic psalm, and then we'll consider what it might mean to us today. Let's begin with Psalm 120. I encourage you to read the Psalm of the Day aloud so you can hear yourself saying the words. It will help you get the feel of the psalm and begin to understand it. For this series, I'm primarily using the English Standard Version as my text. Psalm 120, 1 through 7, a song of ascents. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Many psalms are happy, uplifting, but this one is not. We don't know the author, but we can picture his situation. He is upset. Verse 1, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. If we had only joyful psalms, we wouldn't know how to bring our problems to the Lord. We would be afraid to talk to God about deep troubles, because we might feel the need to be upbeat, positive, full of faith. But sometimes that can be a false understanding of faith. We trust God in the ups and downs of life. Faith continues. This psalm comes from a frustrated, tormented heart. As mentioned in the introduction, scholars have classified psalms into types or genres. This is what we would call a psalm of lament. The word distress in verse 1 derives from the verb bind, be narrow, be in distress. It describes the feeling of the walls coming in narrower and narrower so you can't seem to move. Your options are increasingly limited. You experience intense inner turmoil and anguish. The key the psalmist offers is prayer. I called to the Lord, and he answered me. So often we feel frozen by our circumstances, unable to do anything, or we complain to anyone who will listen. But the psalmist calls out to Yahweh and reports that the Lord answers him, responds to him. The lesson is simple. When you are in distress, call out to the Lord. The psalmist's prayer is simple. Deliver me, get me out of this situation. Verse 2, deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. His problem is a common one. In this case, liars and slanderers are trying to hurt his reputation in the community, turn people against him, diminish his influence and frustrate his plans. While we're examining this psalm, let me draw your attention to a very common element of Hebrew poetry that we see in this verse, indeed throughout the Psalms. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. Lying lips and deceitful tongue are different ways of saying the same thing. Scholars call this synonymous parallelism. We'll see it often in the Songs of Ascent. For more on this, see the introduction. Though we have no indication that this particular psalm was written by David, you could easily picture him in these situations. For example, when King Saul lies about David's loyalty and sends an entire army out to run him to the ground. Or when David's son Absalom slanders his father in order to undermine loyalty to the current king and gain the throne for himself. Perhaps you've experienced lies and slander designed to discredit you. It is ugly. It is underhanded. It is deceitful. And it is repugnant to God himself. My parents taught me, if you don't have something good to say about someone, don't say anything. Good advice. I wish I had always followed it. Now, after asking Yahweh for deliverance, the angry psalmist speaks rhetorically to the liars and slanderers. Verses 3 and 4. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. You lying tongue, you should be shot full of arrows. You should be seared with the glowing coals of a fire made of a broom tree, a common flowering desert shrub in Palestine. You've probably had these sorts of thoughts about people who were trying to harm you and make your life difficult. Verses 3 and 4 are a mild example of calling down a curse on one's enemies, an imprecation, a subject we'll talk more about on day 10 in Psalm 129, verses 5 through 8. Now we get a clue to the psalmist's actual situation. He seems to be geographically removed from the land of Israel. Verse 5, woe to me that I journey in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Perhaps he's in exile, or maybe he's living as an expatriate, a sojourner in a foreign city. He complains that he must live in a foreign land where sojourners don't experience the same rights as citizens, where people don't worship the true God, where neighbors don't share his values. Verses 6 and 7. Too long I have had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. The psalmist longs for peace, but he seems to be living in the midst of a war-obsessed people. Perhaps his emphasis on peace, shalom, is the reason he's slandered and lied about by his neighbors. We don't know. Here on earth, we're often in places we'd rather not be. Places of stress, places of hardship and adversity, places where our resources are drained, places where those around us are thoughtless, places where enemies deliberately seek to hurt and destroy us. It doesn't take long to see just those situations in the lives of men and women of God. Jacob, who had made an enemy of his brother Esau, Joseph, whose brothers sold him into slavery, and a spiteful mistress who had him thrown into prison. Moses, whom God called to deliver a rebellious people from the most powerful nation on earth, and then lead them through the desert for 40 years. Deborah the prophetess, who led a nation attacked by a stronger enemy. Mary, the mother of our Lord, who doubtless bore slander and rejection for being pregnant before marriage to Joseph. How could they understand? Jesus, of course, who took up his cross daily to do the Father's will in the midst of enemies who sought his life and redeemed us by his death and resurrection. Paul, who experienced strife, beating, stonings, imprisonment, and ultimately execution, to complete the mission to which God had called him. And that list is only a beginning. Throughout the ages, men and women of God have learned to handle the stresses and pressures of life by calling upon God, knowing that he hears and will answer. You may be in a period of stress, just like men and women of faith have been for thousands of years, but God is with you. He understands your stresses, He understands your frustration with the godlessness you see around you. And as you call out to him in your pain and frustration, he will hear you and may soon give you the same testimony that our psalmist has. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Let's pray. Father, we come to you with our struggles, our stress points. Sometimes it seems that things will never change. Help our hearts. Encourage our faith. Help us to reach out to you in prayer with real faith and see you make the difference that no person can make. Let your power touch our situations and our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Meditation. This series includes meditation questions to help you think more deeply about the implications of each psalm. Don't skip this in a rush to complete your time of devotions. Here is where your heart will grow. I encourage you to write out your answers, perhaps in a journal, and if you like, post your answers on the online Joyful Heart Forum. If you decide to do this, remember 1, loving comments only. 2, no denomination or church bashing. You can disagree with others, but only with love. So here's the day 1 meditation for Psalm 120. In what ways does stress pull us away from God? In what ways does stress draw us closer to God? Have you given your stress points to God fully? What are you asking him to do about your stresses? May God richly bless you as you go deeper into God and his word. Amen.